Welcome to another episode of the Honk Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe and Buzz Radio Network, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas every Friday. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes. Alongside of me, always, is Adam Hall, and we're brought to you by Bet Online.
Bet Online is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything sports betting. Every stat, matchup, breakdown, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during games. With the largest catalog of odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, NBA, to political props. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline. The game starts here.
And welcome into the Hog Talk Podcast. Adam, we'll get right to it, man. Yesterday sucked.
Yeah.
It was one of those games where, you know, you told you last week I wanted to put two games together, wanted them to have, you know, put it together. They had a chance to win, and what happened? Turnover led to just a complete debacle. Reminded me everything of the Auburn game last year. Kind of same similar point of the season too. You try to hype. You see the good in this team. You see the good in the coaching staff. And I hyped up T-Wheel, hey, Brewer's Award winner, best coordinator in the country. At the time, I thought he was doing a damn good job. And I don't know what's going on with this team. Clint Stoner put it out there, you know, that tweet you shared, and we posted about down by 25, 30 points, and you're sitting there with the championship belt on your shoulder. Something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the point, Adam, we got to call a spade a spade. You know, you're getting your head kicked in, you're getting your teeth kicked in, and you're sitting there celebrating. I don't know if that's the whole coaching staff, coordinators, head coach, and then you have the head coach afterwards doing the same old ho-hum. Like, oh, well, you know, they were just better than us. We got out-coached. You know, to a point, it's like, enough. Show some fire, show some passion. You got more pissed off over a 5-yard clapping penalty than you did getting beat by Ole Miss. Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Oh, there's a lot of thoughts of yesterday. The multiple show between our two shows and HQ Live last week, I said on all the shows that Arkansas needed to watch out because this would be a game that Lane Kiffin comes to prove a point to get Ole Miss back on the right side of things with their offense because they have struggled mightily since they hit SEC play. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, we're sitting here worried about their starting wide receiver going out, not playing, whatever. Is he game time? You know, he was game time decision, this, that, the other. And they had another one that set a record in Razorback Stadium for an opponent total or receiving yards and touchdowns by one player. So it's, I don't, there was no preparation, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Just absolutely none. Secondary got burnt. Jackson Dart got to do whatever he wanted to do. So I just kind of look at, like I said to you in text yesterday, that no longer can we talk about the 6 interceptions that Matt Corral threw, you know, back way back when. So Jackson Dart's 6 touchdowns has canceled that out.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, I mean, it's just you text me before the game. Hey, their top wide receiver might be out for the game. It wasn't even their best receiver. It wasn't even their top guy. That just completely, Trey Harris was the leading receiver in the conference. And you come in and let the guy just have his, I mean, it was almost like you had all your AI settings on NCAA turned all the way up, and he was just running streaks down the field. And that's just how bad it was when you look at it. 254 yards receiving on 8 receptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say they had 4 or 5 plays over 50-plus yards. I think that
was at least 5
they showed. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just, it's embarrassing. But I mean, right, this is, I'm not want to pick on the commenter. This is not a picking on, but this is the perfect, this is Razorback fans on the side of, we need to keep Sam Pittman. I mean, you're saying we losing doesn't make it a roller coaster. It's not losing. It's how you lost. If this would have been a tight game, if this would have been down to the wire, or even if it had been a 14-point game and Arkansas competed the whole game, yes, it doesn't mean that it was a roller coaster season. But when you get beat the way you did, coming off a win against Mississippi State, you went out. You are a dark horse slash contender for the college football playoff. You're in that position. And then you just totally just get waxed by Ole Miss. And again, they were just having their way with you. They wanted to put 80. I mean, they kept Dart in. I mean, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if they would have connected on that one play that ended up, he overthrew him or they punted. If they didn't punt on that drive and they would have scored on that drive, they would have put 70, 80 on Arkansas easy. I don't know. There was a lot of confusion coming from the media. But there's something going on between Kiffin and either Pittman, or did Kiffin really want to come to Arkansas and they passed up? Something's going on where he is sending a message. And I really don't think it's Pittman, because the conversation they had about how close he was to his dad, and he really had really good things about his dad. So is it one of those things that he's really taking a shot at Hunter for passing up on him for this job? Because I mean, his dad had Arkansas ties. Maybe he did want to come in and be like a Bobby Petrino type, come in and try to save this thing. And you know, Coach Cal coming back to Arkansas from Kentucky, maybe I don't think he'll ever admit it. He might, but there's something to think about of, he just has that vendetta. And I told y'all before the season, that guy is it's going to take an A game for Arkansas to beat Ole Miss this year.
Oh, I 100% think that there's something between Kiffin and Arkansas. I don't think it has anything to do with Sam Pittman. Yeah. I think it's a simple fact of, he wanted to come here. Ole Miss, I mean, it was one of those that, hey, give me some more money because Ole Miss is giving me more money. Didn't do it. I mean, I think as simple as that. Because you get to a point where you're not, especially in the coaching football world, unless you're Sam Pittman and this was your quote-unquote dream job, you're going to go where the money is. And so it's one of those things that Kiffin probably, in my heart of hearts, I think he wanted to come here. It was a mutual respect and want and whatever. And then for Arkansas to come back and be like, oh, it's too much money. It's slap in the face to him. So I think now, you know, from that point on, it was, I'm going to get mine every chance I get. Now, granted, I mean, have they played in Fayetteville? What, this is the third time, I think, since Pittman and Kiffin have both been at schools. And he hadn't won here yet. Kiffin hadn't. Yeah. You know, that was the first win for Ole Miss since 2008.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to make that. Yeah.
It's one of those things that he's proven a point, but also it was his game to get his offense back on track.
Yeah. And granted, he was hobbling. You had Russell, second string running back. He was banged up. You know, you're thin, but I don't even want to go to that side of the ball. You had a turnover, which led to, again, just this meltdown. Not saying it was the cause, but you see the ripple effect that happened ensuing that. This game's all defense. Because you had Singletary come in, and, I mean, he did his job. I don't care if it was against backups or not. You know, he ended up being the leading passer and the leading rusher on the day. So when you have a guy like Green, when he's had these tendencies of turning the ball over every game that they have just pissed down their leg, the LSU game, you look at the Oklahoma State game, the Texas A&M game. I mean, yes, he's hurt and he's hobbling, but I still don't think with that defensive performance, you win that game yesterday.
No, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered if Green was producing, staying in that whole game. I mean, Malachi Singleton came in and did his thing. I didn't expect it. I truly didn't, just because we haven't gotten really a full showing of Malachi yet. And I think that, you know, this was a chance, and he did the best that he could, and it was great. What was he, like 11 for 14 or?
Yep, 11 for 14, 207. And I know a lot of it, I'm not going to put a lot into it because, you know, I'm sure at that point Ole Miss had called off the dogs on defense. I mean, Green got sacked 5 times. You know, I mean, they sacked Arkansas a total of 8 times. So if you want to go to the offensive side of the ball, you look at that offensive line. And how Arkansas was not able to run against one of the best defensive lines in the country. So it's one of them deals that you look at the game and it's another season. And it's weird because we said this time last year. You can sit here and say, well, it's not this. We're making excuses every time for this team and we're getting the same results. When are we going to stop making the excuses and be like, okay, enough's enough? A lot of it is. A lot of people are out there. But you can't sit there anymore and be like, okay, simple things. It starts with little things. And if you're on the sidelines and you're dancing, you're TikToking, and you're putting championship belts on down 30, what are we doing? So if you can't say that, you know, NIL and the money and all this stuff has anything to do with it, it's a fact that, yeah, they're getting theirs. And they're okay with it because of the fact that they can sit there and be okay and sit there and do these things on the sidelines down when they need to be like, what are we going to do to, you know, is Sam Pittman content with getting bowl eligible this year and that's it?
Yes. Then
we have a problem. Then we have a serious problem.
Just based on the quotes that we've seen, what he said, I mean, I feel like that's been the ultimate goal, or just get back to a ball game and we'll go from there. Yeah. I mean, even yesterday, I mean, so now you're just, what, hoping to beat Louisiana Tech and you're in a bowl? And, you know, going back to the celebrating and whatnot on the sideline when you're down 30, you know, I kind of go back to when we had Courtney Mims on before the season. And she talked about the culture, just how it seemed from her standpoint and other media standpoint, the culture change overall, the overall morale and everything in the team. So what's changed between then and now?
Yeah,
that we're having this on the sidelines. What's going on in the locker rooms? Is there? I mean, I want to know what conversations are being had between some of these coaches and the players, because obviously these players aren't going to hear what Coach Pittman says pregame to ESPN when he's walking and talking. But I'm sorry, I would get tired of hearing that I'm basically the store-bought brand. And whoever we're playing or going against up is Louis Vuitton or whatever luxury brand. I mean, you're stuff like that.
Just admitting defeat. You're playing a victim. Mm-hmm. That way, if you do lose, you're like, oh, well, see, we have all this blah, blah, blah. And then you go talk to your boss. You go talk to your boss that said publicly that Walmart and Tyson aren't coming to help the football program when they got Walmart and Tyson on the football field. That's one. I made that argument from the jump. That is the one biggest thing I had against when Hunter Yurecek, yes, you got the money from the foundation or to put it on your stadium, but then you turn around and say they're not here. Yes, because the university got that money. How are you supposed to sit there and now you got a B-rate program? Look at your basketball program who got the money. Now they're putting together a solid squad. But when you come on there, it was just so hard for me to hear when that happened, when those words come out of his mouth, and then you got the football. It's almost like they want to play the underdog role or the hang their hat on, well, we beat Tennessee. And that was – somebody put out a tweet today, and it was one of the Hog fan page. He was talking about, you know, Sam Pittman and his job. I compared him to Tommy Bowden at Clemson. He'd done enough to win. He would beat his dad every now and then at Florida State just enough to keep his job, kind of like what Gus Malzahn did at Alabama. When the seat got hot and he beat Alabama, then it was safe for another year. It's like he is doing enough to keep his job, but then again, that buyout has a lot to do with it as well. What's going to happen when that buyout shrinks?
Well, I mean, let's look at that right now, because with his contract – any point in time, if he is terminated, and again, I'm not necessarily calling for it right now because I don't necessarily always agree with in-season firings unless you've completely lost your team. But his contract reads that if he is below 500, he only gets 50% remaining of his contract, which is 2 years. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at essentially 1 year. So you're looking around $6.2 to $6.5 million that he would be owed. If he goes to 500 or above, it's 75%. So, you know, you're jumping up to about $9.5 to $10 million, close to whatever. It's one of those things that does that play a factor? Do you just have to bite the bullet and be done with it? And going back to, you know, the comparison of former coaches, and I stewed on this a little more than I should have yesterday, but it goes back to all the folks that just constantly throw out there this true fan rhetoric. So a lot of these folks that I see in these different groups, whatever, I remember point blank period, several that were ready for Brett Bielema to get out of here, mm-hmm. ready for him to get out of town. Guess what? He was 29 and 34 at Arkansas. Guess what? Sam Pittman is 29 and 31 at Arkansas. We have Brett Bielema 2.0. When you're coming to where you are at in wins, the state of your program, whatever else. So if you're happy with that, that's great. Don't get pissed off at everybody else when they want to change after 5 years because it's the same old chick.
Yeah, exactly. It is. You go back to the Bielema, but you can go from the mental side of it. The Brett Bielema fallout because he got complacent. Nobody was going to replace him, you know, and then, you know, you had the baby, you had the being Brett Bielema show on Bo Mattingly done that documentary about being mm-hmm. Brett Bielema. You got complacent and then you become a father and trying to, you know, juggle being a new father to a newborn and being a Division I head coach. It kind of, and other things that we won't say on air, but you know, it's just all of that contributes to that. But if you get a contract extension for beating a 6-6 Texas team, that's what you're going to get. I'm sorry. When you're a Louis Vuitton coach and you yourself are the Walmart coach, that's what you're going to get. And that's why you keep getting out coached because you keep playing. If you keep telling yourself, you know, we're the victim and I don't have this and I don't have that, you're going to be looked at as a Walmart version coach. And these other coaches are going to sit there time after time. After the first couple of years, it was cool to play the victim because you're an O-line coach coming in. You wanted to save the day. You got your 9 wins. But when is it going to get to the point to where you have to exceed that? You can't just beat Tennessee and then shit the bed the rest of the season. Yeah, you beat a 1-6 Mississippi State team. Awesome. Then you turn around and you just cancel all that out by your performance against Ole Miss. They're running up and down the field on you in the passing game. 500 yards passing against Arkansas. 500 yards.
Yeah. And something, too, in that same little walk and talk, if you will, before sorry, Trey Biddy, if you have that trademarked. Yeah. but, you know, that whole little thing at the end of that little clip that they showed, he, you know, made the comment, well, it's coming, you know, talking about money. Well, it's coming. It's coming, you know. Y'all can't get NIL money, so it's coming through a 3% concession tax. It's coming through the university paying the players. So it's, you know, I had some friends yesterday in our text that was, we were discussing the different, you know, how that basically the question was, how does Ole Miss raise more money than Arkansas? Just talking about the state of the universities, the program, you know, et cetera. And I mean, so let's compare the Grove Collective to Arkansas Edge. And it's one of those things that what I think the Grove, they said that they had raised like $10 million. And I don't know if you're going, is this alumni? Is this your boosters? Is what? But I think that a lot of it has to do with who your head coach is.
Exactly.
And people not wanting to donate to mediocrity. People can say till they're blue in the face, well, give money, donate. The thing is people do not want to donate when this is the product that is on the field. You're telling us to donate and then maybe something will happen, but we don't have anything right now showing us that something will happen. We don't show any proof that things would get better, or are we just going to be content with the Texas Bowl or whatever other Music City Bowl, whatever other nonsense.
Yeah, and it just goes when you're looking at he's established, but what donor is going to pay money? What was the return of investment? Is Sam Pittman going to be here in the next couple of years? They don't know. Why would they? They're, and if that you're talking about, look at a stock market on where things are trending, or you're looking at betting odds. If a bet shifts 7 points towards the home team or the away team, you know something's happened to change this bet. If nobody's investing in the football team, what do you think needs to happen? Let's change it to make it where it happens. This is your big moneymaker. Your football program is your moneymaker of your athletic department. That should be your number one priority, especially in the state of Arkansas, where you could just, you have hand over fist, you have a 50-50 proposal that's still, that another thing that baffles me on why that's not getting passed. I think that is huge for the fact that it could fund the whole athletic department, not just football, but every single program at the University of Arkansas could eat. And I think it's just a bunch of stinginess. If you really want to look after the best of what you're doing with the university, I think you come together and you make that happen. You got a guy like here, Kurt Kignetti at Indiana. I mean, he's having a great season. But I want to see 2, 3, 4. We're seeing, again, let's just be real about this for a second. How many coaches got extensions or got to a Division I off of one season that they had? Look at the guy at Minnesota. He went to a big bowl game at Western Michigan, and now they lured him away at Minnesota.
P.J. Fleck.
Row the boat. You look at some of these guys who's had one good season, and then they step up in competition, and it doesn't work out. How many times have we seen that? What's going on with the guy at Wisconsin? Didn't he Fickell? Luke Fickell, right? What's going on with Wisconsin this year? You know, you just see some of the times it don't work out. And that doesn't automatically mean. I mean, there's a lot of people looking at Rhett Lashley right now because of what he's doing in SMU.
Mm-hmm.
He should, you know, but we really want to look at, is there a big difference between the AAC and the ACC? I mean, if you really want to look at, yes, I want to show him praise and he's done a really good job, but could he come in and run an SEC program? You don't know.
No, but, you know, they obviously, you know, going to get Pittman didn't know. The people that are talking about T. Will replacing Pittman as head coach. So again, you have a problem that we hired somebody with no head coaching experience in Sam Pittman, but then so many people were before yesterday wanting T. Will to become the new head coach after Pittman. Again, somebody else. I mean, this whole like repeating the same thing that we've done before, which is one thing, like, because I know Odom's name has been thrown out there before about coming back to Arkansas when Pittman leaves. I am tired of recycling coaches. Mm-hmm. I don't care to what capacity. I'm just over it. I'm tired of getting the same results. And I think that, which granted, I know that Calipari, I know that the NIL money, I know that that came from John Tyson. We all know that. But I think at that point in time, with that happening and what we're seeing with football over the past 5 years, with NIL, all this, I think it, Hunter Yearcheck, whoever, we just need to basically, the school needs to come out and say, we're not a football school, so we're not putting forth any more towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Put all your money on basketball, baseball, track.
Yeah. If that's what they're going to do, you know, because, you know, going back to that 3% concession, the biggest problem I have, and we were talking about that, was it Ole Miss or Tennessee that was thinking about adding a fee to the tickets?
Tennessee.
So now you're
10% talent fee.
If you don't donate to the Arkansas Edge or you don't give us our $5, we are going to force you to pay us to fund this. I don't care if it's $5. It's the fact that you're taking the right from the fan that is totally against giving to the NIL. They're totally against funding. And there's your champions out there. If you want this to be better, you need to donate. You're asking the common fan to give $50 to $100. You know how many fans you would need to legitimately raise enough money. Look at Ohio State. I mean, yes, they beat Penn State, struggle with Nebraska, but not blowing everybody away, and they have a $20 million budget. How much you think how many people it's going to take to raise $20 million for this football program? I know it's a lot easier with the basketball program because you're looking at 7-8 guys that you could gate $500,000, $600,000 a piece, and you could have your roster. I know it's harder when you're doing a football program. I just think that there was some greediness when it come to we took all this money to have Walmart and Tyson on our football field when that could have been kind of worked in a way to help out the football program and the players in building that moving forward.
I think from the Walmart standpoint, it's just the fact of they're not going to donate to school players.
Yeah.
I think that their money donation wise is just like what they just did or did with these fields. And we got, like we've talked about before, the Waltons own 3 pro franchises, yeah. I think. And they donate.
Broncos, Avalanche, and then one out west, right?
Yeah. The Chargers.
Chargers, yeah.
And then they also donate to Colorado, to Mizzou, to us. I mean, so it's one of those that it all goes to what can they slap their name and logo on?
Mm-hmm.
What can their name be tied to? They're not going to donate to players. It's going to take another company, whether it be I'm just going off the Arkansas, you know, whether it's JB Hunt, whether it's Steven Zink, whether it's whoever, it's going to have to come from something like that than the average fan. But they're going to get, like you said, they're going to get their money somehow, whether it be ticket prices, whether it be concessions, whether it be whatever, we're going to pay for it.
Yeah. And that's where I'm against it, because you're not giving them you're not giving the option. Well, if you want this, then you have to pay this fee. Like, it's just like, I mean, let's say what are they saying? 3% tax.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, I'll do, what's the average ticket you think for a football game? $70?
On the low end. Yeah.
So we'll go $100. We'll just do $100. So $3.
Well, that's just on the tickets. So yes. I don't know if that's included on it, because I thought it was concession tax.
Concession. Okay. So 3% on the concession.
So you and your wife and kids go to a game. We can use you as the example. Y'all are at least going to get a few drinks,
mm-hmm.
something to snack on. I'm going to guess you're going to spend $40 to $50 minimum.
Yeah.
And that's minimum to get you through the game. And that's for the entire stadium. And I know that there's people that go to games and don't go to concessions. I know there's people that probably sneak their stuff in. Shout out to you if you've gotten away with it. But they're going to get their money somehow. And that's the thing. If concession sales start going down, then they will put it on the tickets.
Because mm-hmm.
then we are going to get it from the 76,000, 72, whatever, coming in the door.
Yeah. They're going to get their money. And it's one of those that I don't think it's right. I don't think that they should be able to put a talent fee on there when we know good and well, you know, you're trying to raise all this money and give us a hoodie or give us the whatever you want, free Wright's Barbecue for a year, which this is nothing against the people who are wanting to donate. The people that are going out there, the businesses, the Wright's Barbecue, the people that are really going out there and have a voice and that are doing this, that's fine. They want us. I mean, that's part of marketing. It's part of doing this. But I don't think it's right to sit there and force the fan, because all it's going to do is piss them off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know if this keeps on going the way it's going, you're going to have next year, say if he survives this year, I think he will. I don't see a scenario. Even if he loses, if he beats La Tech and gets bowl eligible, he's safe. I just don't see a point to where he doesn't come back. And this is just talking about honestly, truly how I feel. Should he? That's yet to be seen. But something's got to change.
Mm-hmm. In my heart of hearts, I feel like that you're going to beat La Tech. You're going to get to a bowl game. And sometime between the end of the season, now and the end of the season, I think that whatever conversation behind closed doors is had, I think that he retires, calls it what it is, so everybody can save face.
Then that's fine if that's the way they want to do it. Because look, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll get our ads in here and we'll come back and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Sam Pittman end of the road kind of scenario. We'll talk about that. So save that thought, Adam. We'll be right after the break.
Searching for premium grooming products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Business today, and let's build something amazing together.
Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Look no further than ATU Ozark Campus. As a two-year satellite campus of Arkansas Tech University, we're dedicated to a quality workforce education. Industry partnerships for in-demand jobs and tailored paths for success. Our programs are led by industry professionals. Whether it's a certificate or you're aiming for a graduate degree, ATU Ozark has you covered. Visit our website at www.atu.edu/Ozark or contact us at 479-667-2117. Your future begins here. Welcome to Ozark Area Chamber of Commerce, where our mission is simple: encourage, promote, and aid an enduring environment of shared economic opportunity and civic development for the Ozark, Arkansas area. Whether you're a local business owner or a resident, we've got something for you. Shop our unique local businesses, explore the beauty of Ozark, and savor local flavors and find cozy accommodations. Join us in building a stronger community. And to learn more, contact us at 479-667-2525. Remember, together we thrive.
Welcome back to the Hog Talk Podcast. Adam, you were talking about, you know, the scenario if they saved face. Mm-hmm. And I'll lead off with saying, he deserves that, but and here's why. This guy, you got to still remember, he did come in and take over a program that nobody wanted to coach here. And as much as we hate progress and we hate where we're still at, there's still been points in time in the seasons that they've had, you know, potential of worth. Oh my God, is this a college football playoff dark horse? Or are they in the conversation of going bowling? He's at least deserved a ride off into the sunset and go do that. But that's where it stops. Like it's the fact that at least give the man enough credit to, hey, look, things just didn't work out, blah, blah, blah. You know, that. Mm-hmm. But that's where it stops on my end of it.
My thought on it is you wait till the end of the season. You're even before I am content with it being immediately after the Mizzou game. And here's why. get the early start before the bowl games start, because that's where we start seeing kind of the ramp up of people going or people announcing that, hey, I'm taking this job, whatever. Announce you're retiring. Still coach that bowl game just as your last hurrah. But in the meantime, you're figuring out what the hell you're going to do to get whoever, because names are going to come up during that bowl season. And I think that you've got to be on it quick to get whoever. But yes, let him go out, let him retire, let him coach in the bowl game, but have it announced before the bowl games start, after the Mizzou game, that this is what's going to happen, and start planning your future if you haven't already. And the reason I say wait till then is because a lot of it, I think if you do it now, you're going to start having the recruits that you do have drop.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start having current players drop. You now, if you, I mean, it's one of those that I don't see anything, unless, like we've talked about, you've completely lost your roster, you've lost the locker room. There's no point in doing it right now. So I think best case scenario would be, in best case scenario, I mean, when I'm talking about obviously best case scenario, you went out for some miraculous thing that's not going to, but just for all intents and purposes, that after the Mizzou game, you announce you're retiring, you coach the bowl game, and that's that. Wash your hands of it.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all figure out whatever that payout's going to be for your retirement.
Yeah. And it's the fact that we, again, you know, he, you got to look at a, when there is a problem over a 5-year or 4-year period, let's take away that 9-win season, because mm-hmm. that was not a problem. When you look at, well, even before, so let's give him the COVID year and let's show him some grace, COVID year and then 9-year world. We look at the last 3 years of what's happened. You're looking at the common denominator of, you're trying to, this slide puzzle where you keep putting different pieces in it and you're getting the same result. Well, at some point you need to look at that one piece that's been there from the beginning and wonder, is that the reason why things aren't working? And I've been on here saying, hey, it's nice if you can have a head coach who can run things, and then OC does his thing, defensive coordinator does his thing, but you still got to look at, is everything going according to plan? And if it's not, and that culture is not there of a winning program, somebody put up the whole Indiana coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, they don't stay in hotels. They don't do this Thursday. They go in the day of the game, play the game, and then they go home. It's a culture. It's a different culture. But I'd forgot to mention this a couple of weeks ago, was I ran into a guy who was at Drake Field and the NIL. We're talking about this NIL. The players are flying in on their own jets and then flying out on their own jets. That Tennessee game, there was over 60 planes at Drake Field, private planes. And the guy running the runway there, it said he'd never seen it. So I've seen a video of it, of just the King jets, King Air jets lined up. That's where we're at. But you also got to still build that culture of what you have. Arkansas is behind already when it comes to NIL, but you have to sit there and you got to get your coaching staff. You got to get people to fully buy in. It's all good when it's good, but when you start losing and you're seeing the reactions and the culture and the comments like we're still winning when you're getting beat by 30, that's a problem.
You know, it's one of those things that I didn't think we'd be here. Yes, you know, we were taking it game by game, but this is what happens when you lose the way that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Just because at the same point last year, it was kind of the same thing.
And I feel that some of these fans, it's almost like being in an abusive relationship. It's like, you know, you need to let go of it. You know, there needs to be a change, but as a Razorback fan throughout, from the last time Petrino was here, that's what you're used to. You're used to, I mean, 14 years of this, you know, and it's like at some point people are still sitting there vouching for him when we're getting the same results. And it's like after the games, you're getting this, I want to see more passion from him after a loss. Again, you pointed it out that he was being very animated after that 5-yard snapping penalty. Why are we not seeing that after the game? Why are we not seeing that this is unacceptable? This is blah, blah, blah. Instead of, oh, well, we got out coached again. And, you know, I really like this team and I really like how things are going, but hey, if we win the rest of our games, we went out, we can hang our head on that. That's like, it's like you're making these things up. If you watch somebody that's knowing they're wrong and something clicks in their head to try to get somebody to believe them, you've seen that. He clicked in his head like, oh, well, if we win all of our games, all is going to be lost. You're not going to win all your games. The best case scenario I see is you win 2 out of 3. I still think Missouri's a winnable game, but you can't sit there. I don't see a Texas win. You beat La Tech and then finish out with Missouri. I mean, I still think, hey, you're sitting there at 7 wins. And you that's good. That's good. But is it? It's what you asked me before the season.
Yeah, we both had power surges, so we're calling it good. You guys have a good night.